Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Yud Beis, and we're holding all the way, almost halfway down the Amud, where the Gemara begins, Omer Avlili Bar Mamel Omer Mar Ukva Omer Shmuel. It's roughly 40% down the Amud. The line begins, Misya Bemes, and then it continues on, Omer Avlili Bar Mamel. Now, we're in the middle of a Gishmak Sugya. You recall back at the beginning of our Masechta, we learned that there are 15 Aroyos, that not only they are Potter, but also their Tzorais are Potter. And we learned that Tzorais, of course, means the co-wives are Potter. Now those are based on real Ervis, real Aroyos. What our Gemara has been doing yesterday and today is examining Halachic Aroyos, meaning that they're really not an Erva per se, it's not an incestuous relationship. But Chazal, based either on Psukim or on Gzeiris Terabonan, have decided that it has a status like an Erva. So for instance, until now we were talking about Tzoras Machzeh Grushosoi. After all, Machzeh Grushosoi on the surface is an Isser Lav. It's not an Isser Korah. How does a Tzora get into this? A Tzora you learn from the Pasuk Litzra. How does a Tzora get into this? So that was the discussion that we had until now. Yesterday's Omid in the top of this Omid Aleph about the Tzoras, and in fact then with the Tzoras we weren't even asked about the Machzeh Grushosoi herself. But now we continue on into further cases of Halachic Tzoras, such as Tzoras Mamenes, and later down at the bottom we're going to have Tzoras Ayinus. So let's get started. Omer Rav Lili Bar Mamel Omer Mar Ukva Omer Shmur Tzoras Mamenes Asura Lima'en. I'm sorry. Start again. Tzoras Mamenes Asura. Now what means a Tzoras Mamenes? A Mamenes, you all know, means a young girl who was a Yesoima that was married off by her mother or by an older brother, where the Kedushin is a Kedushin mid Rabbanan. And the same Rabbanan that said that a young girl who's a Ketana, not yet the age of a Nara, she cannot get married on her own, but min ha-Torah, the father can marry her off, and in the father, if he marries her off, it's a Kedushin D'Arais. It says in the Pasuk, as biti nosati le'isha zeh, the father has a full right to mekadesh his daughter, even if she's only 1 year old, or a half year old, or 1 day old. The father has a right to be mekadesh her to another man, and if he doesn't, he accepts the kesef kedushin on behalf of his daughter. It is binding, and this is a kedushin d'arais. However, if there's no father in the picture, usually the father passed away, the mother took over, we'll see other cases later. Then, when the mother marries off this daughter, it's only Rabban. And since it's Rabbanan, the same Rabbanan that said that this is a good Kedushin, the same Rabbanan said that you can terminate the Kedushin based on Miyun. Miyun means that the young girl, until she becomes Bas Mitzvah, she can go and say, I refuse to live with this husband. She can't say it in a vacuum. There's a Machloikis, I believe, Masechus Sanhedrin, whether she says it in front of two Edim or a Bezdin of three. But regardless, it has to be done in a formal proceeding, meaning in front of an Edim or a Bezdin. So what happens? She was Mema'enis, and she said, I don't want. Now, the two possibilities of not wanting. The normal possibility that we think of is that she's Mema'enis Bebala. She doesn't like her husband. Her husband is too strict, he's too soft, he's too this, he's too that. And she says, enough with my husband, and she's Mema'enis. That's one way of doing it. Here we're talking about that she was not Mema'enis b'chaye bala, only after her husband passed away. Now it's too late at this point to say, I don't want to live with my husband, because the husband likshayim and the other Mema'enis, he's already in the base of chay. But what she can do is she can go Mema'enis against her yavam and say, yavam, I'm not interested in being the siyabim to you. Now, what we're taking for granted in our Gemara, that she can menes biyavam, is in fact a shayla meseches nida, and I believe the Gemara says that there's a machlokes. So we're going according to the man d'amar that a woman, a girl actually, less than bas mitzvah, who was married midrabanan by her mother, can go and be menes not only against her husband, but if the husband died, against her yavam. Okay, so what happened was, Reuven was her husband. Reuven died. She's still 10 years old, 11 years old. She falls Lehimim to Shimon. And parenthetically, also to Levi and Yehuda and Yisachar and other brothers. She goes over to Shimon and says, Shimon, I do not want to be married to you. I am in my MS. I don't want to be married. Okay, so what does it say? Clearly, Shimon can no longer marry her because she's a menace. She, however, is still, since her husband died and she was not in mind against her husband, she is still available to be married to any of the other brothers, as well as if there is a tzara involved, meaning that there was a second woman who was a gedoyla. She wasn't a ketana, she was a gedoyla. Says Shmuel, the tzoras mamenes, the tzora of this mamenes is asura. She may not be nisyabe. She is not, she cannot do yiba. And the question is, who are we referring to? Since the mamenes was only mamenes against one of the multiple brothers, only against Shimon, the question is, what's the story with the tzora? Is she also to Shimon, or is she also to the other surviving brothers? So to my Elaimali Achim, are you telling me that this Tzaras from Ma'enis is also to the other brothers? Hashvihi Gufa Sharya. She herself can marry any of the other brothers. Meaning that the Miyun that she did only removes the Zika vis-a-vis Shimon. Because she said, Shimon, I am the Mayan in you. I don't want to marry you. However, she would still be available for the other brothers. So Hashtahi Gufa, the Ma'enis herself, Sharia, she's mutter to the other brothers. How do I know? The Omer Shmuel Miyano Bozeh, Muteris Bozeh. Even though she Ma'enis against Shimon, she's mutter to go and marry Levi, and Yehuda, and Yisachar. Question is, if she herself can marry any of the brothers, even though she was ma'enis against Shimon, she's allowed to be nisyaben by Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar, then the tzara of course can be nisyaben. The tzara can't be any worse than the ma'enis herself. The whole tzara is only a derivative, because she's the co-wife, she's a derivative of the ma'enis. If the ma'enis can go marry the other brothers, then certainly she can marry the other brothers. Ella, mustn't assume that when Shmuel said Tzaras Ma'enis Asura, Eladidei, it means that after the girl that was the Ketana was the Ma'enis against her Yavam, not only can she not marry the Yavam, but the Tzara is also prohibited from marrying the Yavam. Freitimar, why? Umayshna Mima'enis. Remember we said about the Ma'enis herself that she is mutter to the other brothers. Just like Shmuel said. Miana Bezeh, Uteris Bezeh. But what's the reason why? Why is the Ma'enis also against Shimon and mutter to Levi and Yehuda? To love the Ma'isa. Because she didn't do anything to them. They didn't do anything to her. They were just very nice, patient observers sitting on the side. So nothing happened to them. They were not the recipients of a miyun. They didn't give a chalitza. That's why she's allowed to go and marry them. If that's the case, tzara namli avdu b'maisa. The tzara, even vis-a-vis the first yavam against Shimon, also nothing happened with her. The only person that did anything was the mima'enes vis-a-vis Shimon. Just like we say, the Mama'enis didn't do anything vis-a-vis Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, she can go and marry them. So the Tzara didn't do anything vis-a-vis any of the brothers. So she should be able to go and marry not only the other brothers, like Shmuel said, but even the first brother she should be able to marry. In other words, even Shimon, because Le'avdibu Maisa. Everything, well, I'll tell you why she cannot go and marry, that is, why the tzara cannot marry the first brother that is shipped. Gzeid mishum tzoras b'itoy mima'enes. Because we're going, if we allow the tzoras mima'enes, then the same thing is going to happen. We're going to allow the tzoras b'itoy mima'enes. And we don't want to allow the tzoras b'itoy mima'enes. And what exactly is the case of tzoras b'itoy mima'enes? You have the case, the marshal of Yitzchak and Yaakov. And Yitzchak has a daughter. The daughter is only 10 years old. And that daughter marries, he said, Yitzchak and Yaakov, let's do Reuven and Shimon. Reuven has a daughter who's 10 years old, and she gets married to Shimon. Is there anything wrong with Shimon marrying his brother's daughter? Nothing wrong. Happens to be his niece. Now, what happens after that? After that, she is not happy with her husband, with Shimon. So, she can be Mimai. Instead of being Mimai, she wants to be Mimai. I know you're going to ask a question that is a Chayyar Kekudushin Diyaraisa. It's not Turban. We're going to get to that in a moment. Instead of being Mimai, and you know what happened? Unfortunately, Shimon passed away. And now she falls to her own father, to Reuven. So, what it says over here in our Gemara is that if she decides to remain against her own father, why would she remain against her own father? Because she's a Yisoyma. Hello, David Agitvach. Please put yourself on mute. Thank you, because there's some noise in the background. So if she doesn't want to go and fall the Yibin to her own father, she can go and be Mimma Enes against her father, just like we said until now, that a Yosayimah can go in the mind against the Yav. The question that's bothering Barry is, how can she be my enes against her own father if she has a father that means that her Kedushin was a Chayra, that means that the father's still alive. If the father's still alive, then presumably he was the one that married her off. If he married her off, it's a Kedushin D'araisa. So how can she be mayan against her own father? So Rashi is bothered by the Kasha. Rashi says it's talking about a case of Yesoima B'chaye Ho'av. What does that mean, Yesoima B'chaye Ho'av? It means that originally her father married her off to Yankel from Chicago. For whatever reason, the marriage did not last. And Yankel was a bad husband, and eventually, or she was a bad wife, eventually Yankel gave her a get. Now she returns to her father's home. She's all of 8 years old, 10 years old. The father would like to marry her off to somebody else. The halacha is that a father only gets one swing. And if he strikes out on that swing, he struck out. So therefore, he has that one right of marrying her off to Yankel of Chicago. But if that marriage did not last, and Yankel gave her a get, then father loses his right to marry her off to someone else. However, Chachamim said, we're still going to allow the mother to marry her off. And that's what the Chachamim call a Yesoima B'chaye Yo'av. She still has a father, but B'toras getting married, she's like a Yesoima. And since now the mother married her off, and who did the mother marry her off to? Shimon. Shimon now is married to her, she's all of 10 years old. And now she has the right, if she's not happy with Shimon, to be Mimma Enes. However, she was not Mimma Enes. She kept on sticking it out with Shimon. Shimon eventually passed away. She's only 11 years old now. She has the right, if she wants to be Mimma Enes against her own father, because she's going to fall the Yibam back to her father. Father's still alive and kicking, and she's Mimma Enes. What's the halacha? The Gemara tells us that the tzara of that Mimma Enes is usher to the father. Not only the tzara that was Mimayim, I'm sorry, not only the girl herself, the Bita Ma'enes, but the tzara as well, she is also usher to the father. So now the problem is, says our Gemara, if we were to say in the regular case, the tzaras Mima'enes is mutter, I'm afraid, you know what's going to happen? They're going to say a tzaras Bitoi Mima'enes is also mutter, but that's not the case. Tzaras Bita Ma'enes is asur. And because of this gzeira, we say that every tzoras mima enes is asur. Freit di Gemara, yes, Barry. I have to tell you, that question bothered me as well. The Gemara, in fact, doesn't say that she is required to be Mima'enes. It says that if she was Mima'enes, what would be the din? Then the Tzoras, Bitoy Mima'enes, would also be Asa. But I didn't see any reason why she would be Mima'enes, because after all, anyway, she would be Asa to her Yavam, since it's her father, based on the fact that she's an Erva, that in itself dismiss her from the whole Hilchos Yibam. But the Maisi she was Mima'enes, and now the question is, what's the story with the remaining Tzar? Now, if you're wondering, that Miyun L'choyre should be L'malav L'moyrit, since it happens to be her own father, we'll see in the Gemara, because of Gzeirois, that it'll make a difference between whether she Mima'enes against her original husband, or she waited until after the marriage, and that she Mima'enes against her father. Let's wait for a moment, and we'll hopefully help to address the question, even if we won't resolve it. So Gemara says, "Zayim mishum b'tzoras b'tumenes." Frank, the tzoras b'tumenes mi'asira. Tzoras b'tumenes is not even asur at all. In fact, it's mutter. How do I know about that? Back to our Mishnah. V'kulan. Kulan means the 15 arayos. Emesim. Oy mianu. Oy niskarishu. The Bach adds those words from the Mishnah. Tzoraseyan mutarayos. The Pasha Pshat the Mishnah is talking about, you had Shimon, who was married to his own niece, as well as to a few other women. If Shimon passes away and leaves over that niece to his brother Reuven, since that's Reuven's own daughter, that's Bitoy, and not only is a Bitoy potter because she's an Erva, but also all the other girls, the other women are also potter because they're tzaras. Says our Mishnah, but what happens if the Eishes Shimon, the daughter of Reuven, died, or she was Mima'enes, or she got a get L'choira, prior to her husband's passing. So by the time that Shimon died, the daughter of Reuven, that Bitoy, was out of the picture, then the Tzara is a mutter, because we look at the time of Nefila, the time of when Shimon passed away. That's a Pashup Shat in the Mishnah. Now the question of the Gemara is, to me and Abimah, when it says in the Mishnah that she was Mima Enes, then Tzoresein Mutars, who was she Mima Enes against? Ilay Medimian Abibal, she Mima Enes against her own husband, against Shimon. So by the time that Shimon passed away, she's no longer in the picture. Haina Gerusha, isn't that just another form of a get? It's not a Gerusha get Diaraisa, because we're talking about a Yesoima, Ketana, Bechaye, Ho'av, but it's like a get derabanan. Just like a Kiddushin deraisa requires a get to sever the relationship, a Kiddushin derabanan by the mother requires miyun to separate between the two. So why does it have to repeat in the Mishnah both miyanu or niskashu? Ela b'yavim, so we must l'choy be talking about that she is ma'enes against the yavim, meaning against one of the 15 listed in our Mishnah, including Bitoy, meaning she was Ma'enes against her own father. And we're saying that if she were to do that, the Tzara is Mutter. But you just said a moment ago, the Tzara's Ma'enes is Asura. Here it says that the Tzara of the Ma'enes is Mutter. We're really talking about the husband himself. Utrei gam nigerishin. In other words, as long as the Bita was Mima'enes against her husband, that's Shimon, her uncle, if Shimon is against her husband, then if this took place before Shimon passed away, so Shimon was the subject of her Mia, then she's out of the picture. When Shimon subsequently passes away, a minute later, a day later, a year later, whatever it happens to be, she's no longer in the picture. That's why all the tzoris are mutter. Didn't we say in the Mishnah, oy nizkarshu? Why does it have to say, oy mianu? Utrei begam the gerishin. It's telling us two different types of gerishin. A gerishin, which is a classic get, and a gerishin, which is effected through mian in the case of yesoima kitan. Fine. So what does it come out? That our Mishnah, when it says that the tzora is muteres, because she was mianu, bibal. When is the case of Tzoras Mem'enes Atzasura when she's Mem'enes against the Yavam. Let me understand. Umayishna kimiyana b'balda krinel nisuin kimiyana b'yavam nami nisuin kamoy ka'akra. Isn't it both the same halacha? What does miyun mean? Miyun means she says, I don't want this marriage that my mother put me into. And therefore, how does it work? It's not like a get that works mikan ula haba. It's really okay the mafreya as if the whole thing never took place. Rashi calls it, it's like a case of an anusa or mefuta. Mefuta means that they were just living, if you will, I don't want to say in sin, but without the benefit of kiddushin. Because when she's ma'enes, she's saying, I didn't want the whole thing from the beginning. If that's the case, then it makes no difference whether she's ma'enes against her baal or against her yavam, in this case, the av. It's as if she was never married in the first place. So what difference does it make? So, well, I'll tell you why. It's all drabanan because of, if you will, a maris ayin type of situation. You should be Tony Rami Bar Yecheskel. Tony Rami Bar Yecheskel. Mi ana bebaal muteres the yavam. The yavam asura. What is this case, Rami Bar Yecheskel? Rami Yecheskel is talking about a totally different case. He's talking about a situation where you have, for instance, I started saying before, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Yaakov's wife. What happened was that Yitzchak had a son, Yaakov, like we have in the Torah, right? Yitzchak Avinu had a son, Yaakov. Yaakov went and married Leah. When he married Leah, Leah was all of 10 years old. Fine. Now what happens now? Yaakov and Leah, for some reason, didn't have shulam bayis. And she was Mem'enes Bebal. She was Mem'enes against her own husband. That's normal mien. What happens now? Her husband, now, at this point, she's free of marrying, of being married to Yaakov. Yitzchak says, I would like to go and marry her. Now, until now, Yitzchak was this young girl's father-in-law. He was the Shver, because he was the father of Yaakov. Yaakov was married to this young lady, all of 10 years old. So Yitzchak, therefore, was the Shver. However, if she goes and says, I don't want to live with Yaakov anymore, it's okay, the Kiddushin l'mafreya, and Yitzchak can go and marry the young lady who everybody thinks of as his daughter-in-law, his kalosai. That's Muteres. It's Muteres the Yaakov. However, if she was not the Me'enes Babal, she was Me'enes Be'yavam, meaning her husband passed away, and now she is faced with her Yavam. She's Me'enes against the Yavam. Okay, so then the Yavam is not going to do anything. The Yavam goes home. And now the father-in-law says, the former father-in-law, I would like to go and marry you. Asura li Aviv. What's the difference? In both cases, she is Me'enes to be okay the Kiddushin. So it's as if she was never married to Yaakov. So why can't she go and marry now Yitzchak? Ma nishtana. What's the difference? Me'enes Babal or Me'enes Pe Yavam? Everyone, I'll tell you, mitzat ikra din, you're right, there's no difference. Alma mishas nefila nearest kikalosoi. Had she been ma'enes against the Baal and severed the relationship at that time through the miyun, then everybody would say, no, they tried it out, it didn't work. It's as if she was never married. Let her now go and marry her father-in-law. That's fine. However, if the marriage lasted until her husband passed away, and then there was a Yavam involved, and she had to be Mim'enes against the Yavam, then people say, I see there really was a Kala relationship, because she lived with her husband until her husband passed away, and she was only Oiker after the husband passed away. So it looks like she is the bona fide daughter-in-law of the father-in-law, and that's why the father-in-law cannot go and marry her. Back to our case. What was our case? We're talking about the Bitoy case, where we said in our Mishnah, if the Bitoy is Mema'enes against her Baal, then she's in the Tzorais are mutter to marry the father. You know why? Because in that case, Shitaka was Oike the whole Kiddushin l'mafreya, and when Shimon passed away, she was available and she did not stare any of the tzorais, she didn't interfere with the tzorais being able to be mitzyapa. However, if she did not go and break the Kiddushin, she was not mementz. Rather, Shimon passed away. And now, after Shimon passes away, she falls to her own father together with the other tzarois. That's the case there, that all the tzarois would be potter. She's able to be my enes. Since Shimon passed away, and at that time they were still married, so people say Shimon left over three wives, his niece, the bitoy of Reuven, and two others. Even though subsequently she was ma'enes, you know, next day, next week, next month, but at least in the minds of people, she was at that time the bitoy that fell to Yibum. So that other young lady looks like, smells like, acts like, appears to be just like the tzaras bitoy. So, if somebody asks you, what's the dim tzaras bitoy ma'enes, you have to tell them. If the bitoy is ma'enes against her own baal, then the tzaras mutter. Because by the time the baal passed away, the tzaras were no longer tzaras. They were just plain, simple wives of Shimon. They were no longer co-wives. The bitoy had left the scene because she was ma'enes. However, if she was only mine after her husband passed away, and now she's ma'enes against her yavam, even though the yavam happens to be her father, in the minds of people, she was a bona fide yavama that fell to yavam. She was now ma'enes against her father. So now, not only is she aser, but the tzaris are also aser to her father because they're the tzaris of this young lady. Zeta was the case of a regular tzoras mima'enes is also because the case of tzoras bita mima'enes. You have a regular, let's talk about, like Rashi calls them, nachriyos, not related at all. You have a case of, you have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven, Shimon went and married a young lady who was only 10 years old, and Shimon was also married to a bunch of other ladies. So now, this 10-year-old, for 2 years, she had the opportunity to go and be Mima Enes. Had she been Mima Enes whilst the husband was still alive, the mien would have been effective, and then when she would be out of the picture, and then when the husband dies, all of the remaining previous co-wives, all the remaining tzarois, are mutter to the yavam, to the brother. Why? Because the young lady that left the scene is out of here. So all the others are left and they can go and marry the yavam. However, if that mima enes, if that young girl of 10 years old did not perform mian vis-a-vis her husband, but rather waited until her husband passed away. And now after the husband passed away, the whole world thinks of her as being a regular Yavama that now falls to the Yavam. She goes over to the Yavam and says, Yavam, I don't like you because I don't think you're frum enough, or I think you're too frum, or you're too tall, you're too short, whatever. And therefore, I'm being mamayim. Now, when she's being mamayim, the effect of the beard is to be oker, the original Kiddushin, vis-a-vis her original husband. But the fact of the matter is she wasn't mamayin against her husband. She was mamayin against her yavam. Says our Gemara that not only can she not marry the yavam, but also the tzara cannot marry the yavam. And the Gemara said, why not? What would this poor, innocent tzara, what did she have to do anything? She was just an innocent observer. She was just a tzara of the Mima'enes. Why is she also to go and marry now that first Yavam? Says the Gemara, Mitzad Ikar Adin, you're right. She would be able to go and marry that first Yavam. I'm just doing an exeir in a case where she wasn't just a tzara of a regular Mima'enes, but tzara of a bitoy Mima'enes, which the Gemara says, tzara's bitoy Mima'enes, she would clearly be usher to go and marry the father of that bitoy mima'enes, and therefore, just like the bitoy mima'enes cannot marry her father, the tzara can also not marry the father. When, if the miyun took place post the husband passing away, then the Bita was still in the picture at the time of Nefila Liyibam. So then the Tzara of that Bita Me'enes is Osir to the father, just like the Bita Me'enes is Osir. I was afraid that in a regular case, if you're going to allow a Bita, not a Bita, a Tzaras Me'enes to go and marry the Yavam, then you would say in the case of the Tzaras Bita Me'enes that the Tzara can marry the Yavam, in this case the father. But since that halach is that it's Asur, so because of that gezeirah, we say that every Tzaras Me'enes is also Asur. It's a perfect question. The Rashba, Ritva, other Rishonim ask that question, and they give the typical answer when you have this type of question of gezeirah. They looked at the whole picture and they said, when it comes to Me'enes, it's such a complicated sugya on its own, let's just make a gzeir across the board, all tzaras from Me'enes, whether it's a bitoy, whether it's any one of the other 15 arroyas, or whether it's just a regular case, a tzaras from Me'enes is awesome. Now I know that you're not particularly overjoyed with all of this, don't get too locked in to this, because in Yat Hashem we will see on the Amud Beis. If you want to just take a quick look at it, you'll see on the third line of the Amud Beis, Ki Asa Ravin Am Rabbi Yochanan Achas Tzaras B'Me'enes, that she's in fact Muteres. But this is the view of Shmuel here, the Tzaras B'Me'enes is a surah, not Me'ikar Din, but only because of Egzeiro Atu Tzaras Bita B'Me'enes. So we're going to talk about that once Tzaras B'Me'enes a little bit later again. And now we have left the sugya of the Tzaras B'Me'enes, and we go on to the Tzaras Islands. Amr Ravasi, Tzaras Ayunis Asura. Ayunis, you all know, means a woman that cannot have children. It's not only that medically they say she can't have children, but in fact, she never matures into a nice young lady physically. She remains, even at the age of Lamashal 18, she looks the same way as when she was 10 years old. She has not developed into a lady with the typical features that a lady would have. So, everybody has confirmed, she is an islandess, she's never going to have children because she doesn't have female physical features. So what's the din? This islandess, as we'll see in a moment, doesn't even fall liyibam. As it says in the Sfarim, she's mufka, she's removed from the whole parsha of yibam. And therefore, just like the islandess is out of yibam, the tzara is also osur lihisyabe. Shenema, how do I know? I have a pasuk. The whole purpose of Yibam, as spelled out in the Torah, is so that the Nifter should have a legacy. Unfortunately, he passed away, believe Banim. He is, the wife and the general community and the whole family are devastated. Nebuch, a young man, left no children. Ah, we have a redeeming survivor. The Yavam hopefully will marry her. Hopefully they'll have a child. And maybe they'll even go and call the child in the name of Reuven, who passed away. Even if they don't call the child with that name, but the point is, he'll be a vashtika legacy to the Nifter. Says our Gemara, V'yibachor ha-shatelet pratli aynith, she'enu yaledes. And aynith is out of the whole picture of Yibam, because she unfortunately cannot give birth. So therefore, she becomes like a colossal erva, and the tzara becomes like a tzaras erva. It's not a tzaras erva in the family sense, in an incestuous sense. It's in the sense of a halachic erva, and this is the tzara of the erva, and therefore she's also osur lihisyabe. Freitimar, Moser Rav Sheshes. We're going to talk about that on the bottom of the Amud. I thank you for raising that issue. We're going to come to that in Mitzvah. If you look two lines from the bottom of the Amud, in Rashi it says, Ein kan mekach tois. If you look at the last line, Rashi says, Mekhoi Mekach Toys. We're going to talk about that issue in another couple of minutes. In the meantime, Gemara says, Masav Rav Sheshes, Shloish Achim Nisuin Sholish Noshem Nochriyais. You have three brothers who are married to three women. These three women are not sisters. Nochriyais over here, as you know, doesn't mean Chas Hashem Goitis. It just simply means women that are not related to one another. I'm taking out my earpods, you may lose my volume, and if so, start showing with your hands that you don't see, don't hear me anymore. Since nobody's saying anything, I assume you do hear me, right? You do hear me? Good. So, continuing on. Says Yimar, you have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, are married to three women. Umeis Echemen, Reuven passed away. Now, what should Shimon or Levi do? They should either do Yibam, or they should do Chalitza. And instead, V'osa Basheni Ma'amar. Shimon went and did Ma'amar. As we'll later, learn later on in Masechta, Min HaTorah, the only way a Yavam can be koina his Yavama, is through Bia. Yavama Yavoi Aleha. Bia, that's Min HaTorah. Midrabban, however, the Rabbanim instituted that the Yavam could go and give her Kesef Kiddushin. That Kesef Kiddushin has the status of like Erusin, again Midrabbanan, so it's not a full-fledged Yibam, but nevertheless, they are quote-unquote married. Fine. Eventually, they had hoped Shimon and this Yavama to go and consummate the marriage by having Bia. But it, fortunately, Hashem had other designs. What happened was Nebuch, Shimon passed away. So now, this young lady, who is now Nebuch, now suffered two major tragedies. She lost her first husband, Reuven. She lost her second husband, Shimon. He wasn't a full husband with a capital H, but a husband with a small H, because they had a Kiddushin Rabbana. And now she falls to Levi. Levi would love to go and marry her and be Miyabim her, but he's not allowed to. Not only can he not go and marry her, but he cannot go and marry any of the Tzorais. So if Shimon left a Tzara, he can't marry her either. Hari elu chol Tzorais, v'loy misyabmois. They can only do Chalitza, not Yibam. Why can't they do Yibam? Shinem, it says in the Pasuk, umeis achad mehem, yevom meyovi olem. We're talking about, again, kieshu achim yachdov, two brothers were together. Umeis achad mehem, and one of them died. What happens after that? Yevom meyovi olem, the Yavim should go marry her. Misha olem zikas yavim echad. There was only one Yibam zika. V'loi zika shnei yavim. Here you have two zikas. You have the zika from Reuven, which was never resolved. You have the zika of Shimon, which was a zika drabban. Now this drasha that the Gemara is giving us now, as we'll see in another couple of lines, is drabban. And therefore the pasuk that we're bringing, Meis Achad Mehem, is really only an asmachta. Why do we have to say that? Because after all, the second zika wasn't a zika deraisa. It was only zika drabbanan, because the ma'amar is only kedushin drabban. But nevertheless, the Chacham said, Levi can only be choylitz and cannot be misyabe, cannot be miyabe, for the reason that we just gave, because she has on her head two zikas, zika from Reuven and zika from Shimon. Uktani Allah, and about this case that we just finished saying, Omer of Yosef, Zui tzaras eishes ach mi'av shinsen afila gorem lo shli matzina b'cholat reyda kula k'goyim zois. Oh, this is an exceptional case. This is a tzora of an eishes ach. What means an eishes ach? By the fact that this young lady who was married first to Reuven and then to Shimon, now looking at Levi, she'd like to marry Levi, or if not she, then one of her Tzorais would like to marry Levi, says Rav Yosef, this Tzora is a Tzora of an Eishes Ach, Me'av, she iser nefila garamla. What means she iser nefila garamla? What caused this Tzora to be a Tzora of this young lady? After all, the first young lady didn't do anything wrong. She's not an Erva, and therefore there should not be a Tzora of the Erva. Tzora is only in the case that we have an Erva, Litzrar, just like you have the Tzara by the Achois Ishtoi. This is not an Erva over here. The fact of the matter is, she was married to Reuven, Reuven died. She married Shimon through Maimer, Shimon died. Nothing wrong. Nebuch, she falls now two Zikis, two Levi. And we say that the Tzara is disqualified. Chol Tzavloi Mizyab Mois, says the Gemara, this is the only case that you find such a thing, that Issa Nefila Garamla, that as a result of the second falling, both of Reuven and now of Shimon, now this Tzora is disqualified, and therefore she is Osir. We never found anything like this. So the Gemara says, now what is this Zuhi Tzoras Eishes Achmiyav? Zuhi L'muti Mai, what does it come to exclude? Lav L'muti Tzoras Islandis, Tisharia. When do I say that it's Osir? If it's a Tzora of an Eishes Av, I'm sorry when it's a tzara from the two double zikos. Yeah, the two zikos that we just said now, then the tzara is awesome. However, when it comes to the case of the tzara's islandis, that lechayr is mutter. And if that's the case, Rav Asi said tzara's islandis is asura. So I have a kasha on Rav Asi from this Mishnah or Braisa about the Shloisha Achim, where it certainly sounds like that by Shloisha Achim we say that's the case where the Tzara is Asur, by the Tzara of the double Zika lady. But in our case of Tzara's Islandis is Masha, this would be Mutter. And you said the Tzara's Islandis is Asur. Do it tomorrow light. It's Lamute Tzara's Islandis to Asira. Comes to tell you that Tzara's Islandis is Asur. What do you mean it's Asur? I already said by the Tzara's two Zika ladies that it's Asur. Zui! As opposed to this. Yeah, but the difference is, in the case of the two Zikos lady, there's a din of Chalitza and not Yibam. The reason why there's a din of Chalitza is because the whole Isser to marry is Dirabonon. So therefore, don't make Yibam, do Chalitza. Why is it Dirabonon? Because as we said, this drasha, the Gemara is going to explain in another moment, this drasha that we had of Omeis Achad Mehem Yevami Ovi Aleha Misha Aleha Zikas Yevam Echad Loi Zikas Shnei Yevam, that's really an asmach, that's not the Raisa. So in that case, there's no din of Yevam, but there's a din of Chalitza. Like the Gemara said, Hari Elu Chotzois Loi Mis Yabmais. Masha Enkin, in our case, when you're talking about the Tzoras Islandis, it's also that even Chalitza your potter. And the Gemara explains. Umay Zuhi, what it means Zuhi? Zuhi to Isser Nefila Gorim La Tzorasa Baye Chalitza. In the case of the two Zika lady, and now you have a tzara of that two Zika lady. Since all of this was created as a result of Shimon passing away after the Maimer, and that's why the lady had two Zikas on her head, then the fila was Goyre, tzorasa baye chalitza. Chalitza she requires. Island is a fila chalitza loy baye. She doesn't need anything. She's patura min hayibam, o min ha chalitza. What's the reason? My time, Hodya Raisa. Hodra Bonon. In the case of the islandess, it's Minatoira. Bahya Bachar Asher Teleid. Since she cannot give birth, the whole parish of Yibam doesn't apply to her. Since it doesn't apply to her, she's out of it, and the Tzara is out of it. It's like a Tzara's Erva. That's why Ravasi said Tzara's islandess is Asura. Hodra Bonon, the Masam of the Twizikas is Drabonon. Since it's Drabonon, Einachanami, she's Asura. Lihisyabein, but she's mechuyev in chalitza. So the Zuhi came to tell you, only over here is there chalitza. But Tzoras Islandis is so awesome that you don't even need chalitza. Frank Dimara, you're telling me Tzoras Islandis is awesome. So now let's go back to our Mishnah. The Kulan, any one of the 15 Arroyas, Imesu, Oimianu, Oiniskarshu, Oishinimtsu, Islandis, Islandis. So the same mutaris, the tzara is mutaris. Why is the tzara mutaris? Why don't we say that any one of these 15, since she is an islandess, therefore it's totally asher teleid, ash prat la islandess in your letters. There's no din of erva attached to her. She's a total islandess. So why does it say the tzara is same mutaris? Didn't we say according to Rav Asi, tzara's islandess as asura? So this is a Tzara of an islandess. It's true. She's a Tzara of an islandess together with another. It's even worse. Because this is a Tzara of an islandess that's also part of an Erva situation. Right? Any of the Kulan, any one of the 50 in Arroyas. Lamushal Bitoi. Bitoi is an islandess. The Tzara is Muteris. Why is it Muteris? Didn't we say a moment ago that a Tzara of an islandess is Asur? Here it says a Tzara of an islandess, who's also a Bitoi, is Muter. And now we get to Brother Shai's point of 5 minutes ago. Kanshi hikibah, kanshi loy hikibah. What means hikibah or loy hikibah? Let's see the Rashi, third wide line down below at the end of the line. Kanshi hikibah, dirav, onto the fourth wide line. Dirav asi. Bishi hikibah, kishanosa, shehi islandess. When he married her, he already knew at that time that she was an islandess. Maybe she was already 15 or 18. And she did not have any simone narus or bagrus. She still looked like a 10-year-old. So she knew that she was an islandess. There was no Mecca toys. He knew, and he said, she's a sweet girl, she's a frum girl, she's a tznua, she says tillim every day, I'm going to go marry her. No Mecca toys. Bariki Ishtar, therefore becomes like his wife. Vitzirosa Havyitzuris Islandis. So now, since this is a kosher marriage, there's nothing wrong with marrying an islandess. So he married her, and he married another girl. So the other one, the Tzuris Islandis. Brahmana Patra Miasher Tele. So the Torah says, you islandess, you're disqualified from Yibam. You're like an Erva, if you will. So this is the Torah of an Erva. Umasnisin, when it says in our Mishnah that if the beater is an islandess, the Tzora is Muteres, Bishleihikin Bakishanas. It's talking about that when he married her, she was only 8 or 10 years old. And therefore he didn't know that she was not going to develop into a normal young lady. He was sure that she would. After all, how many physical islandesses are there in society? It's a very small percentage. So he was sure that she's going to develop into a fine young lady. Fine young lady means physically. But unfortunately, she did not. And therefore, Mekhoi Mekach Toos. That's what Brother Shai told us, a Mekach Toos. And therefore, V'lav Ishtri, it's as if she was never married. V'chit Tzorasa Muteres, T'lav Tzoras Islandessi. She's not a Tzor of an islandess. The islandess is poof. She's out of the picture totally because it's as if she was never married. So therefore, we are distinguishing between the Tzoras islandess that Rav Asi is talking about, that he knew that she was an islandess, Ikerba, then the Tzora is Asura. In the case of our Mishnah is talking about Loi Ikerba. Now, to the extent that you think that this is a little bit a teretz, a dochak, in other words, it's a remote teretz, says Yomar, no, this is the real pshat, the economic tani. Look at the Lashon HaMishnah. Nimtzu islandess. Nimtzu means it was a later metzia. Later on we found out that she's an islandess. What do you mean later on she found out she was an islandess? He should have known when he married her. No, he didn't know that. It only became a mekach toas later. Not that she was an islandess when she got married. He only found that out of it years later. Oh, it was a mekach toas, and that's the reason why the tzara is not the tzara of an islandess. She's one big zero. It's as if they were never married. Shema minah. Barry has a question. You're coming up choppy. I don't know if it's your connection or my connection, but I don't...
It might be my connection. But in the case of Shimon and Levi after Ruvain died. Do you hear me?
I hear you. Could you start again from the beginning? You're trying to...
In the case a few days ago,
yes.
Of three brothers, where Ruvain dies and then Levi's born later.
Okay.
And then the widow marries Shimon. So we have three brothers, right?
And the third brother is... And actually, Hayyab Island.
Actually, Baba Olam, right.
And Machlaik is Shin Rabbanan, depending when he was born, whether he was born during the Zika period or only born after the Yibam took place.
Right.
Continue
here,
on.
Yeah. Here, similar. Here is very similar, isn't it? Here, Shimon marries, doesn't marry her. He didn't actually marry her. He didn't consummate the marriage.
You're going back to the Maimer question. You're leaving now the case what was our case of the islandess? You're talking about the case of the three brothers and the three women. Continue on.
The two Zikas,
the Rice and the Rabban, correct.
They're not equal quality.
Correct.
The Rabbanan saying, one is a Rabbanan level Sika, it's only a member, then Shimon dies. It's a very simple community of Sika here, and he took away. Until he consummated, Sika persists and exists on
earth. What you're saying is correct, but bear in mind, at all times of Rabbanan, at all relevant times, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi were together by them. So now, when Levi is being asked to go and be Miyabim, the lady that was both Ashes Reuven and subsequently Ashes Shimon, and he wants to go and be Miyabim her because it's his not only one brother but two brothers' wife, and he wants to Makayim the Mitzvah of Ivam, says our Gemara, say Chazal, we have an Asmachta, a Drasha, to tell you that only Meis Achad Mehem, you can only be Miyabim a woman with a singular Zika and not a woman with a double Zika. So that's one case. The case that you're positing is a case where Levi was not around until after Shimon married and took over the Zika of Reuven. So according to Reb Shimon, vis-a-vis Levi, as far as Levi is concerned, Reuven never existed, Reuven was never married, Reuven was never divorced, he never died. He, Levi, only arrived on the scene after Shimon had already taken over the Zika. So the original Zika had already been resolved through the Yibam. Therefore, whatever happened before that is history. And now Levi is being asked after Shimon passes away, let me go Miyabim the Eish Shimon. So that's the machlok between the Rabbanan and Reb Shimon. And Reb Shimon says he can go and be Miyabim the Eish Shimon. Why? Because as far as he's concerned, Reuven didn't exist. He only was born later on. But Shimon did exist. And Shimon doesn't have two Zikais. Shimon only had that one Zika of Reuven. He resolved that he addressed it by being Miyabim. Now Shimon passed away, so there's only one Zika left. It's not a double Zika situation. And since that one Zika is falling to Levi, who was Eishes Achsha, Hoye Ba'olam, says Reb Shimon, he can go and be Miyabim. According to the Rabbanan, no. She only became the wife of Shimon because she was originally the wife of Reuven. And even though that Zika has gone away, for sure, but since it was an Eishes Ach Shloi Hoye Ba'olam, Levi never knew Reuven, Reuven never knew Levi, and therefore he's disqualified from being Miyabim. If you want to discuss this further, maybe after the Shir, but the cases are different. Getting back to our Gemara, says the Gemara, Shema Mino, that there's the case of Rav Asi that we had was Tzoras Aynanis, where he kirba, and therefore the Kedushin was Chal, because he knew that she was an Aynanis, and the Tzora became a Tzoras Aynanis, and therefore she's Aser. And our Mishnah is talking about a case of Tzoras Aynanis, Shaloi kirba, it's a Mekachtois, so it's as if this Aynanis was never in the picture in the first place. What's Halacha L'maisa? Amar Rava, Halacha is Hilchasa Tzoras Aynanis Muteres, not like Rav Asi. Rava disagrees with Rav Asi. And he says, even if he knew all along that she was an Aynanis, the Tzora is Mutter, Vafila Tzoras Bitei Aynanis. Even the case of Tzoras Bitei in our Mishnah, where we said Tzoras Bitei Aynanis only if Nimtzu Aynanis, which Brother Shai said that means it was a Mekach Tois. Says Rava, even if it wasn't Nimtzu Aynanis, even if she was known as an Aynanis from the first day and on, makes a difference. In all cases, the Tzora of an Aynanis is Mutter. Why is she Mutter? Because she's considered to be, Rashi says, let's look at the top Rashi, Hilchasa Tzoras Aynanis Mutteris, V'avagav V'hikir Ba'achid, V'kayimah, V'hav Yishtoi, it was his wife. Lo'imitzera Tzoras Mishim Tzoras Abbas. Even if it's talking about a Bas situation. And he knew that she was an Aynanis. It's a good Kedushin, and she's a Tzora. Nevertheless, the Chiyasa Rachmana, Tzoras Erva Mokam Mitzvah Huda Asra. The Torah only asked Tzoras Erva Mokam Mitzvah. Vaha, even the Aynanisi, to belav Erva Namili Chazi Lebibam, because since this Aynanis is disqualified from Yibam, because Asher Teleid, because of that, Havitzarasa Tzoras Erva Shaloi Mokam Mitzvah. It's as if you have an Erev Shloim Mokam Mitzvah. What's an Erev Shloim Mokam Mitzvah? So we had this already a number of times in the Gemara before. Let's talk about Lemushal Imay. Is a person allowed to marry his own mother? Of course not. Chas v'shalom. What happens if his own mother falls liyibim to him? How could his own mother fall liyibim to him? If Shimon married Reuven's mother, How can Reuben marry Shimon's mother? Shimon married Reuben's mother. After all, isn't it his own mother? No, no, talking about they had the same father but different mothers. But he can't go and marry her because she's Ashes Aviv. Oh, what happens if she was Anusas Aviv? Oh, Anusas Aviv is really machlokes between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, whether the brother is allowed to go and marry Anusas Aviv. She was never really married to the father, but there's a particularly egalic enough of it. Machlokes with the talking about Anusas Aviv, talking about the case of a Soita, like the Morris or a Shemeres Yavam, as we discussed before. So, what's the case over there? So if it was Anusas Aviv, and now the Imoy fell to the son, so the son, of course, cannot go and marry her. It's his own mother, Avada Chas V'Shalom. And he couldn't marry any of the tzaris of that mother. On the other hand, what happens if it's not a Reuven and Shimon situation? Reuven rather had a mother, Baruch Hashem, everybody has a mother. And now what happened was that mother got divorced from his father, or the father passed away. And now that mother married Yankel from Chicago, a person totally unrelated, Yankel Smith, nobody ever heard of him, she married him. And Yankel Smith had another few brothers. And now Yankel Smith passed away without children. Would Reuven be able to go and marry his mother, who's now an almana? Of course not, it's his mother. But could he marry any of the tzaris? And the answer is yes.
Sure, yes.
Of course, because it's not been Mokim Yibam. He had nothing to do with Yankel, and therefore, yes, he's allowed to go and marry any of the tzaris. That's what we call a tzara shaloi v'mokim mitzvah, which is mutter. Our Gemara is saying is, or Rashi is explaining, the reason why the tzaris islandess is mutter, even in the case of the bitoy, says Rashi, kimin the islandess he, to belav erva nami lechazi liyibam. Put aside the erva situation. Since she's an islandess, she never is in the parsha of Yibam. So the tzara, who's the tzara of the islandess, is a tzara of nobody. She is not in the parsha of Yibam whatsoever. When it comes to Yibam, she's not married. She's out of the picture. So then it's a tzara, shaloi b'mokai mitzvah, because there's no Yibam attaching, no zika attaching to the islandess. She's disqualified from the parsha of Yibam because of Asher Teleg. No, that being the case, that's the reason why the Tzoras Islandess is totally mutra for the Hikriba for the Tzoras Bitoy Islandess. Aye, why does it say there from the Mishnah Shenimtzu, which sounds like we only found out now, we never knew that she was an islandess until now, and Rav is saying Afila Hikriba, everything Mara, today Shehoyu, Shenimtzu is Lav Dafka, you can go and amend that, take out the word Shenimtzu, put in the word Shehoyu, under all circumstances, make no difference whether they knew she was an islandess, not know she was an islandess, a Tzoras Islandess is mutter, because it always blives like a case of a Tzora Shaloi B'mokoyim Mitzvah. Tzora Shaloi B'mokoyim Mitzvah is mutter, like we said, like the case of the mother, Shaloi B'mokoyim Mitzvah, Vadi allowed to go marry all of the son is allowed to marry all of the Tzoras. Now we just finished off the parish of Tzoras Islandess, and now let's go and do a sikum on all the last three cases. That's tzoras mima'enes that we said on the Amud Aleph, that Shmuel said tzoras mima'enes asura. Says Rabbi Yochanan, I disagree. It's buteris. V'achas tzoras islandess. Tzoras islandess, we had Rav Asi. He said tzoras islandess is asura. Says Rabbi Yochanan, mutter. The achas tzoras machzik rishosai. Machzik rishosai, of course, what we learned yesterday's Gemara, that if you have the tzor of a machzik rishosai, then kulon mutarais also mutalach, all of them are mutar. The simple reason why they're all mutar is because they're not physical bona fide aroyos. They're only what you would call tzugikim aroyos, meaning these are only halachic aroyos. Lamaisa denan an erva. You're not talking about any bito, you're not talking about a chamoiso, you're not talking about bas ishto, you're talking about a tzara. Tzara's memenis is mutter, tzara's islandess is mutter, tzara's maxim rishosi is mutter, all of those tzara's are mutter.
Well, tzara's rishosi is actually
a lav.
The others are not. You're
100% right. There is a lav over there. A person is not allowed to go and be maxim rishosi mishinissis. But it's not an issa erva. And it's not an issa korah. You're 100% right. This is a deraisa, those are rabbanim, this is an isser. There's no isser in marrying an islandess. You're allowed to go and marry 20 islandesses. Of course, you have to mekayim the mitzvah period of Revi. So for that, you have to have at least one wife that's capable of having children. But there's nothing objectionable about marrying an idolatrous. Maybe it's even a mitzvah. She should feel, she feels bad. Nobody wants to marry her, and you marry her, and you're bringing simcha to her heart. That may be even a mitzvah. But there's certainly no isser involved. But yes, Masir Grushos and Mishanissis is a big isser, but it's only an isser lav. It's not an isser kariz. And unless Barry will say, what about Rabbi Akiva? That's a different story. But according to Rabbanan, since it's only an isser lav, the tzara is moteres. And now we start a brand new sugya. The reason why we get into the sugya is because we're going to shortly quote from our Mishnah once again and see how it's related. Now this is a major, major halachic, a major halacha that has many, many contemporary ramifications. And this is what we call contraceptive. What type of contraceptive? We're not talking about a pill, but we're talking about that a person, a lady puts in a moch. A moch literally is like a piece of fabric, a piece of cotton, a piece of cloth. But also makom, so that if and when she lives with her husband, that the husband should not cause her to become pregnant. Why would this be objectionable? Toisa says at the very top, because it's an isser of hashchosas zera. You're not let her go and destroy your zera, and she's destroying it by putting up this barrier down below. So normally women are not allowed to mishamish b'moich. There are three exceptions to the rule, and the three exceptions are all based on a sakana. What is a sakana? By a katana, if she's a young girl, mu'uberes, if she's pregnant, or minika, if she's nursing. Any more explains. Katana, shemet tisaber. Katana, I'm worried about that she might become mu'uberes. Okay, so what's wrong with that? Shemet tomos. Maybe her body cannot withstand the pregnancy, I mean, she might die. So we don't want her to die. So prevent the pregnancy by putting in this fabric, this moich. Mu'uberes, shemet tasa ubra sandal. The Umeris, maybe if she is already pregnant, if she continues living with her husband normally, she might get pregnant a second time, and then one of the fetuses is going to squeeze against the other fetus, either the old one against the new one against the old one, and it's going to make it like a flat pretzel. And in Gemara Maseches Nida says that the word sandal is the name of a fish that is very flat. You sometimes see in if you go to a professional aquarium, you see these very flat fish, that would presumably be called a sandal, and instead of the child, the uber coming out normally, the whole face will be flattened out like a flat pancake. Finally, menika shem etigmal b'nav v'yomus. This is talking about in the days before they had formula, and therefore, as one of the Gemara says in the Sechtes Nida, that the blood of a woman gets transformed into milk when she's nursing. But a lady only has that much body fluid in her body. So if she's going to be nursing and her blood is being transformed into milk, and then if she comes pregnant and she needs the blood for the fetus, so then who's going to lose out? The nursing baby is going to lose out from its milk, and chas v'shalom, the baby's going to die. Now, explains the Gemara. Ve'ezi k'tana, what's the time limitations of k'tana? That is the final year before she becomes a bas mitzvah, from 11 to 12. V'yom echad. Pochas v'kan, if it's less than 11, v'yeser alkei mishameshes kedarkim hoy leches. If she's less than 11, she cannot become pregnant. Over 12, she can and she can live. And so therefore, she has to be mishamesh kedarkim, means without the benefit of that moich inside her. Divrei Meir. In all three cases, the katana, muberes, and menika, mishameshes kedarka, she should live normally with her husband, v'yleches, u'mina shemayim yirachvu. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu already have rachvim on them that nothing should happen. Good, so obviously the machlok between the mayor and the chacham. Now let's analyze the mayor. Midik Omer, since the mayor said, shemetis abor, v'shemetomus, maybe this 11-year-old is going to become pregnant. And then maybe she's going to go and die from the pregnancy because her body just cannot physically handle the pregnancy. After all, it didn't say Shema Tisaber Vitamus, it said Shema Tisaber Vishematomus. Means maybe she'll become pregnant. Sorry? Okay, fine. And therefore, what's the case? So maybe she'll become pregnant, and maybe she'll die, and maybe she won't die. So therefore, it's possible for a ketana to be ebrav loy meisa. If that's the case, then you could have a woman that's already chamoise ashriger, and she's capable of being mamayin. How could she be capable of being mamayin? You have a young lady that's all of 11 years old. At 11 years old, what happens was she became Baruch Hashem pregnant. She had a child at 11 years and 9 months. Her husband says, "Oh, I am so happy we have this baby. This is a terrible shidduch crisis out there. I'm going to marry this baby off already right now. I'm not going to wait until she becomes 18 or 20 or 25, and then I have to send out resumes and pictures and yefshiyah and yefshanish. Let's marry off right now as a baby." Okay, maybe they waited 7 days, maybe waited 30 days. It shouldn't be a nafel. But the original girl that gave birth to this baby was all of 11 years and 9 months, and now she's 11 years and 10 months. Guess what? So she is a chamoisai. She is, if they're going to go and marry off this baby to a boy, and the father marries her off, so it's going to be a kedushin d'oraisa. So now this young 11-year-old and 10 months girl is a chamoisai. She's a shviger. She has her daughter that got married. And she could be mamayin against her own husband because she's only 11 years old, not 12 yet. I can have a case. It can have a case of a chamoisai of a mother-in-law who is capable of being mamayin. Utanam bar Armisha said, why? How could it possibly be that she's an islandess? That she's a mima'enes. After all, to be ma'enes, you have to be less than 12. To have a child, you have to be more than 12. So there's a disconnect. How does that work? We now found that you could have a chamois mima'enes. And our Mishnah says it's impossible to have a chamois mima'enes. Evidently, Mara, you're right. Don't say Shema Tisaber, the Shema Thomas, Eim Shema Tisaber, and automatically, Thomas, she's going to die. So therefore, there's no possibility of having a Chamoisai at the age of 11 and 10 months, because if at 11 months, if at 11 years, she becomes Muberes, she's not going to live till 11 years and 10 months. The Omer Abba Bar Levoi, Gvul Yeshla, there are age limitations. Koinim Azman is before 11 years old, Eim Muberes Kolikar. It's impossible for a girl to become Meuberes. Toich hazmanazeh, after she becomes 11, he meisav ugber meisav. If she becomes pregnant, she will die and the fetus will die. Lachar zman, after 12, lachar zmanazeh, he chayv ugber chay. Aha. Anyway, so bottom line is, as the Gemara, takui should be goy to shem tisaber vitomus, it's impossible to have a chamois mema'enes, because if she's a chamoisai, she can't be mema'en, and if she can be mema'en, she can't be a chamoisai. You know why? Because they already gave birth. So if they already gave birth, then she can no longer be mamayim. Says Dr. Rashi, why does it say shekvar yoldu? It should say shekvar gidlu. They already became 12 years old. And that's the reason why she can't be mamayim. By the fact that it says shekvar yoldu, sounds like that even though she's not 12 years old, she's only 11 years old and 10 months, she still can't be mamayin. Why? Because she gave birth. Who cares if she gave birth? If she's not 12 years old, she should be able to go and be mamayin. We go back to the original Gersa. It's taka true. An 11-year-old can become uberis. And she can live. And chas v'shalom, she can die. But she could live. Elakasha hachza, how can you have a case? Why does the Mishnah say that a chamoisai cannot be mima'enes? I can have a case of chamoisai mima'enes when she, Baruch Hashem, did live, and she's 11 years and 10 months. She has a little baby. The baby was married off, so she's a chamoisai, and she could still be mima'en against her own husband because she's not 12 years old. Amrav Safra bonim hari hem kisimanim. As soon as she gave birth to a baby, she graduates from Kitana Shift, and now she is a na'ara, because having a baby, even though physically, according to the clock, she's 11 years and 10 months, she's already 12 years old. Because it's as if she got simani. Now it's as if she got two hairs. Banim are like simani. Even better than simani. What does that mean, the better? According to the According to Rabbi Yehuda, a girl has an extension on the time that she's menes, not until the age of 12, till the age of 12 plus, until she has ribui shachar, not just 2 years, it's got to be at least 5, 10, 20 years, as we'll learn in Mi'at Hashem later in Masechtas Nida. So therefore, banim is even better than simanim. The reason is, if she had children, if she had a child, is the chasimin that she had the two physical pubic hairs. And therefore, she is deemed to be already a nara. Let's be boydik. You're telling me, ain't banim v'loy simanim? Let's see. Ask the women to check it out. We're afraid that maybe they fell out. That's why you're not going to find them. There's a man yama that says, I'm not worried about the two hairs falling out. Either they have them or they don't have them. I'm not worried about enchoshin. Even if you hold enchoshin, because of the fact that she went through 9 months of pregnancy, and she went through tzar leida, all of that caused that the two hairs fell out. So it's not that having banim is the equivalent of simanim, but if she had banim, it's a simon that she already saw simanim, and therefore she is a nara. So bottom line is, our Gemara says it's impossible to have a girl who's also a chamoisai and still having the right of miyun, because if she gave birth, she graduated her ketanishaft. She's now a nara, and a nara can no longer be mima'enes. I wish you all a getevach. Thank you all for joining the shir, and may Hashem to be continued.